Luke chapter 23, please, verse 33 and verse 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Father, bless us this morning to hear and receive that which you have for our hearts and lives today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll fill this preacher, that you'll fill this room. And as we learn about a familiar subject, but an important matter, our ears will hear what we need to hear today. Let us not make the mistake of daydreaming or wandering in our thoughts. Certainly not listening for someone else, but to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church today. Bless now, we pray, and we ask it in that name that's above every name, that name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As you're being seated, grab your cell phone very quickly and pass it to the person next to you so they can check and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Some of you live in denial and think it's always off when it's not. And if they have a nice cell phone and you've always wanted one, you can keep it. And Merry Christmas. So help us with that, please, today. We would appreciate that very much. I think we all understand, don't we, that we are supposed to forgive. We understand that, right? I don't think it would shock anybody that goes to church or been to church for very long to know that we're not only called to forgive, but we're commanded to do so. You know, it's interesting, even the secular world of psychology and counseling and all the stuff that they're doing today for people, even they've begun to find out how important forgiveness is for people to be able to get issues of their life behind them and to get on with their life. Believe me, hey, the secular world will always eventually catch up to God. They may not think it's that way, but believe me, that's the way it is. Jesus taught it so many times while he walked this earth. He included it in the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. They call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. He included forgiveness in that, telling us that if asking God's forgiveness and being reminded in that prayer that if we will not forgive others, God will not forgive us. I think his greatest teaching on prayer on forgiveness was Matthew 18, when he told the parable of the man who had what amounts to today to over a $250 million debt. That's a quarter of $1 billion. The master calls him in and demands payment on the spot, all of it. The man cries out for forgiveness and asks, all the man asks for was just some time to pay it back. And the Bible says that the master looked at him and said, you know what? I'm just going to forgive the whole thing. And he wiped a quarter of $1 billion debt off the books in an instant. And the man didn't even ask for that. He just asked for time. Quarter of $1 billion man walks out of the meeting of the master who forgave him, steps outside, meets a friend who owes him $2. Quarter of $1 billion man says to his two-buck friend, give me my $2. And his friend makes the same speech he just made. Hey, give me a time, I'll pay it off. You know what this quarter of $1 billion man did? Grabbed him by the throat, drug him down to debtor's prison, and threw him in prison because he wouldn't forgive him for a two-buck debt. And Jesus said, you're the quarter of $1 billion man. Anything anybody's ever done to you is $2 worth. And if you won't forgive somebody what they've done you, when I've forgiven you so much, it's the greatest teaching on forgiveness I've ever seen, because it teaches you the how and the why we're supposed to forgive. But do we really understand what real forgiveness is? Do we get this now? We look at, oh, no, wait a minute, I'm going to have to forgive this person for this. Well, I find that forgiveness falls on three fronts. There's forgiving others, which is the most commonly understood forgiveness. there's also forgiving yourself. People are kind of quick sometimes to do that without forgiving somebody else, but you still need to learn how to accept the forgiveness that God has given you and forgive yourself and get it behind you and get on with life. So forgiving others, forgiving yourself. And the third area is not one that's commonly spoken of when we talk about forgiveness, and that's forgiving God. See, Pastor John said, we don't need to forgive God because it doesn't do anything wrong. You're absolutely right on those terms. God doesn't do anything wrong. No, He does not. God never makes a mistake. God never does anything He needs us forgiveness for because He has wronged us or anybody else. But forgiveness of God means I'm willing to put away in my heart and my mind what I think God did me wrong for. Because there's a lot of folks who are holding things against God, and they think they're justified. Well, God took this loved one from me. God took this away from me. God didn't make this happen. God did this great injustice. God does not bring injustice. Man is the author of injustice. But I guarantee you, oh, man, listen, as a boy growing up in a drunkard's home, I held a lot of things against God. It wasn't His fault. But you see, if you understand forgiveness, if we're going to understand what real forgiveness is, you need to understand what the word forgive means in the Bible. The word forgive in the Bible means, it means to send it away from you. It means to put it away. It means to lay it aside. It means to omit it. Like you hit the delete button on your computer and you just let it go. That's what forgiveness means. In its pure form, it means to give before. But it means to put it away before, to let it go, to turn loose of this thing, to release it. That's why we talk about forgiveness with God. You need to release that stuff that you're holding against God. He didn't do you wrong or anybody else either, by the way. But you need to let that go. You need to turn that loose. And against others and against yourself. You know, the worst thing you want to do in life is live under the burden of forgiven sin. You got it right with God, you got right about it, and then you live under the burden of forgiven sin. Now, if we're going to learn what real forgiveness is, then we need to learn from the best of all the forgivers who ever lived, and that's Jesus. And that's where we are in Luke today. You know where He is in Luke 23? He's on the cross. He has just been crucified. They have taken and beat Him like an animal until you could not tell He was human anymore. Flesh torn from His body, beard ripped from His face, as He carried His cross out to Calvary, the Bible says they jumped from the crowd and gnashed upon Him with their teeth. We're hearing the news about some man who's foolish. I don't know what's wrong with people nowadays. They got to smoke every stupid thing on this planet. Now they're smoking bath salts, and it makes them crazy. And this man tried to eat a guy's face off and down in Florida. Can you imagine Jesus' raw, bloody body, and they jump out of the crowd and they take that raw flesh and they bury Him with their teeth and they rip the beard from His face and they ripped His clothes off of Him and they nailed Him crucified to the cross, nailed Him naked in front of shame and everybody. And what you read this morning in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, are the first words out of His mouth. They have driven nails through His hands and crossed His ankles and driven a spike down through that and bent the knees a bit. So He would have to push Himself up through that spike and pull Himself up with those nails to draw every breath that He will draw. He has been beaten horribly, horribly abused and mistreated, beaten by Roman soldiers, cursed upon. They spit on Him. They go by the cross and spit at Him. And the first words out of His mouth are what you read in Luke 23, 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He'll make seven statements from the cross, but the first one is a statement of forgiveness. Now listen to me. If you get this picture this morning, we'll learn what real forgiveness is now. Say, yeah, well, that was tough what happened to Jesus, but let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened to the most innocent man who ever walked this earth, who was convicted of being the Son of God. Had absolutely no crime laid against him because they had to hire people to lie. And that didn't even work. And then he's declared innocent by every court in the land of his day. He goes through a series of six trials in less than 24 hours. You talk about kangaroo court. They pushed him through this thing and declared him innocent but guilty in every one of them and crucified him. Nail him up between two criminals, malefactors, men who were murderers and were being executed for their crimes. And his first words are what? His first words are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if you want to understand real forgiveness, you just stand at the foot of that cross and listen to the first words out of his mouth. I assure you, that were not the first words out of those thieves' mouths. That wasn't what he was hearing. He wasn't hearing people at the foot of the cross saying, would you forgive us, Lord, for what we're doing to you? No, they're standing at the foot of the cross saying, look at him. He said he was the Son of God. You said you could save others, save yourself. Pull the nails out, come down, we'll believe who you are. You know who else is at the foot of the cross? One disciple, his mom, and a handful of godly ladies. But he had 12. One had already hung himself. So where are the other 10? And do you know who's in the crowd that's cursing at him and laughing? You know what they did in crucifixion days? They took lunches and snacks and things and sat there and watched people. Because it saved, sometimes they would die, take them 2-3 days to die. And they'd sit there and have a meal and watch this thing like they're watching a program on television. And those people who are sitting there watching this whole thing, some of that same crowd sat there when he broke loaves and fishes and fed them. They had eaten at his hand. And now they're watching him crucified. And his first words are what now? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's real forgiveness now. Well, that's Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, and that's the way it is. Jesus was not giving that as God the Son, though he was. He was stating that as the Son of God and the Son of Man on that cross, like a man dying in our place. But he did that because Jesus had learned what real forgiveness was. He knew how to give it. So what is real forgiveness? Okay, quickly, here it is. Real forgiveness. Now, real forgiveness is forgiving what has been done. When he says, Father, forgive them, he's not just talking to the howling mob and the fools who are there. The Bible says the Roman soldiers who stripped him naked, they got down to the foot of the cross and got out the dice, and they were gambling, casting lots for his clothing. That's why we don't mess with gambling, etc. They're gambling at the foot of the cross while Jesus is pouring out his lifeblood. He's not just forgiving the soldiers. They don't care. 30-some thousand people were crucified in the lifetime of Christ. About the average of 20 a week. These guys are used to nailing people to a cross. It isn't any big deal to them. He's not just forgiving them. He's not just forgiving those who were there. He is forgiving all those who had beat him and all those who had suffered and caused him to suffer. All those judgment halls, Pilate's washing of his hands, all the crowd, the Roman soldiers who had him in the Praetorium Hall and put a cloth over his face and punched him in the face and things. All those people, all that had been done to him up to that point, is what Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them for. He's forgiving. He's practicing real forgiveness because he's forgiving what's been done. You mean everything I have to forgive, everything that's been done to me, Pastor Johnson? If you want to know what real forgiveness is, yes. No, no, listen to me. Don't make your list and then put down, but I don't have to forgive this. I mean, all the rest of that stuff, but this was really bad. And I don't have to forgive this. And I don't have to forgive this one. You see, what real forgiveness really then is, if you can forgive what has happened, what real forgiveness is this, a willingness to do so. Why would we want to be willing to forgive the wrong done to us? When it hurts, yes. They've wounded us, yes. Why would we want to be willing to forgive what has happened in our lives? Well, it's a very simple answer to the question. Why do you want to live with it? Why? Why do you want to continue to carry that burden, that hurt, the wrong? Why do you continue to live with it? Listen to me. In 30 years of ministry and working with people, I assure you, every person I know who has some kind of a relationship problem or situation in their life, every one of them eventually has to go through the gate of forgiveness to get that fixed. And I don't mean getting forgiveness from the person. I mean giving it so they can get past it. Because you can't go on unless you're willing to forgive. I can't do that. Let's say it the correct way. I don't want to. I would rather live with this as a badge of my wound. I would rather live with this in my life than just say, okay, God, give me the grace to put it behind me. Because that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's forgiving them for what they've done. No relationship can make it without forgiveness. Real forgiveness now. Not that I forgive you, but then I'm going to hold it against you for the rest of my life stuff. Not that kind of junk. Where you actually really do, just go ahead and put it behind you. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I was with my wife's parents to celebrate their 60th anniversary. They actually celebrated this week. And we were with family there yesterday. It's always interesting, isn't it? When you get with family and you see their face. You mean the whole family? No, the one. You know who I'm talking about? Look at me now. You know what I'm talking about. That one who had the nerve to show up and actually be here after what they said about me. I'm all by myself this morning. Is that why I'm up here on the platform? Some of you folks are looking at me like, I don't know what he's talking about. Don't lie in church. That's terrible. The one. They're there. They actually came. I can't believe they're here. And that was something they said to your sister 42 years ago. Or it's something that, you understand, people, relationships don't survive without real forgiveness. You can't get there. Well, when they come crawling to me on their knees, yeah, then they're down to your level, and that still won't help you. You have to understand something. This thing about forgiveness, real forgiveness, is wiping the slate clean of the past. Yeah, but I still remember. Ah, but do you hold something against them? Listen, forgiveness, remember, means to let it go. It means to release it. Our memory is still there, and we see their faces. My brother Jack was there yesterday, and he's 2 years older than I am. He looks 100 years older than I am, but he's 2 years older than I am. And the first thing we started talking about was when we were kids in camp. Ladies and gentlemen, that was 50 years ago. But he knocked a French apple pie out of my hand at camp 50 years ago. French apple pie, the hostess used to make them. They don't even make them anymore. See, that's the seriousness of this issue. All it is an apple pie with raisins in it. That's all it is. Stinking cheap apple pie. I think it cost me a quarter. But it was the last one, and I'm unwrapping that pie about to enjoy the pleasure of the last French apple pie at Camp Casadero 50 years ago, and my knucklehead brother comes up behind me and bumps me deliberately. And it fell in the dirt, and I couldn't get the dirt off enough to eat it. And he, to this day, still owes me a quarter. I want a French apple pie. Forget the quarter. And yesterday, two grown men, one 60 and the other one none your business, were standing there talking to each other, and the first thing that came up was a French apple pie. And his remembrance of it was totally different than mine. It was like no big deal. It's still a big deal. So you're making light of things, Pastor Johnson, that happened. No. No. But real forgiveness is forgiving what's happened. You have to. We remembered it. We laughed about it. We talked about it. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's not that big a deal until he comes up with the French apple pie. It's not that big a deal. But my brother and I share some hurts from our past that we don't talk about a whole lot. Things that happened to us growing up in a drunkard's home. That's gone. You understand? I remember it. Listen to me. I remember it, but I also remember that it's forgiven because I let it go. I let it go a long time ago. Real forgiveness is forgiving what has happened. Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is forgiving those who are standing there and what they are doing to him at that moment. Two thieves cursing him at first. One will turn to him in just a few verses here. Watch Because the first words he hears from Jesus' mouth, when initially he says, yeah, yeah, and while you're at it, pull the nails out of us and let's all get down here. Yeah, yeah, come on. He and his buddy are railing on Jesus. And the first words this man hears is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this thief stops in his tracks and turns to the Lord and says, well, first he says to his friend, don't talk to him like that. We're getting what we got coming to us. This man did nothing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But the wound of what the man said was still fresh in Jesus' ears, but he had already said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave them both. One went to heaven and the other went to hell because he didn't access the forgiveness of God, you know. And he's forgiven those people who are spitting at him. Come on, pull the nails out. Come on now, that religious crowd that turned on him. He's forgiving what was being done to him, what had happened right then. He was willing to forgive it. Now, if you're willing to forgive the past, you're going to be able to forgive in the present. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't get to something about this past issue. But if you'll just keep letting it go, and that's what forgiveness means. Please understand, it's a process of things. You just keep letting it go. It comes up, but you let it go. It comes up, but you let it go. My wife and I had someone in the family hurt us yesterday who's hurt us in the past. They did it again yesterday. Not pleasant, is it? So that's easy for you, Pastor Johnson. You're a preacher. I bleed blue. I bleed red blood just like everybody else. Nobody can hurt you like the people you love. Nobody. And by the way, the fact that they can hurt you proves that you do love them. You offer them that opportunity when you love somebody. You give them that opportunity to hurt you. But without forgiveness now, listen to me, without forgiveness, you're not going to be able in the moment to forgive anybody. You'll say the words and things, but we all know that, you know, that kind of stuff is cheap, right? I can forgive anything, but not this, Pastor Johnson, because this is fresh in my mind. Yes, it is. But real forgiveness is forgiving that which is done to you because you know what it means to be forgiven. Did you ask for the forgiveness of God this week? Did you do something you shouldn't have done? He said, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Do we know what the Bible says when that happens? He waits to see whether you're real about this or not. He checks your repentance. He checks your faithfulness. He checks your attitude. He checks your sincerity. And then he'll think about it for a while. Then he forgives you. No. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantaneous. Just like that. That's unbelievable when you think about it. Yeah, but I mean, how many times? It doesn't put a limitation. He just said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I mean, on the spot. You see, because I have been so able and willing to receive the forgiveness of God, then I should be able and willing to give it on the spot. You mean while they're standing there with the blood dripping from the dagger, Pastor Johnson? While the blood drips from his hands. One of those guys down there casting lots for the clothes, he's the one who held the nail in one hand and the hammer in the other and drove those through his hands and feet. So some of those soldiers, they put that crown of thorns, those little thorns, no, they're 3-4 to 6-inch spikes, weaved into a crown and jammed on his head, and then a reed was taken. They beat it down on top of his skull. Some of them are standing there with the blood of Jesus on their hands, dripping from what they have done to him. And he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand this. Yeah, but they knew what they were doing to me, and they did it anyhow, and that's just not the way it should be, Pastor Johnson. I agree with you. It's not the way it should be. Please don't take advantage of people's love. Please don't take advantage and hurt people. Please don't do that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I know that the people we will most often hurt are the ones that are closest to us in our lives. And it's wrong. Don't hurt anyone, but please don't hurt those that love you and you love. Don't do that. Don't take advantage of that love. That's not an excuse or a reason. Don't do it. But when it happens to us, if we've dealt with this thing in the past, we should be, real forgiveness will be, it'll be granted on the spot. Because you see, it's still that $2 thing. I'm sorry. As difficult as it is, and as much as sometimes you have loved ones and they or folks that you know and care about, they not only just get you once or twice, they seem to use you as a target. And you keep getting the slings and arrows of misfortune. You keep getting the wounds that come from them on a regular basis. Peter asked Jesus in that Matthew 18 parable, how many times? 70 times 7? 490? Do I get to keep record? And when they get to 490, I can hate their guts? Jesus said, 490 times to learn the practice of forgiveness. Real forgiveness is forgiving what has happened, what is happening, and real forgiveness is forgiving. Listen now. It's forgiving what will be done. We think about that howling mob at the foot of the cross, don't we? How could you be so heartless to look up at the Son of God? Ladies and gentlemen, there are people there who were fed at His hands. I wonder if some of that crowd were some of the folks He healed in His ministry who could actually see who couldn't before. I don't know. When we think about that crowd, we think, how cruel and heartless could you be? You know that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that cry of forgiveness rolled all the way to you and to me. And when we ask for forgiveness, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Jesus was asking for forgiveness more than just a crowd at the foot of the cross, that bunch that nailed him and tortured him. He was asking for forgiveness for you. He was asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness for things that haven't even happened yet. That's why salvation is only through the cross and Jesus Christ. That's all. Ridiculous to think that baptism could save you, or church membership could save you, or good works could save you, or living a good life could save you. Ridiculous to stand at the foot of the cross, see what Jesus does, and walk away and say, well, I think you just be good. That's foolishness. It's against the Bible, and it's even against common sense. Tell me He could do all that, and then we could just be good boys and girls and go to heaven. Ridiculous. No. Forgiveness extends to you and me. God extends forgiveness to us because of Christ's payment at Calvary and because Jesus asked Him to. And even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Real forgiveness prepares us for what will happen. Please don't get an attitude of, okay, now what's going to happen to me next? But that hurt brought to us yesterday by our loved one. That's not the first time. It probably won't be the last before it's all over and said and done. But I have lived with bitterness in my life before. And I have lived where I collected all the trophies of the wrongs done to me in my life, and I built a whole showcase. Great display case where you could point to folks and say, see, this is what my people did to me. This is what my dad did to me. This is what my stepfather did. This is what this one did. This is what that one did. And everyone, you know, gets out the whole violin section and starts playing the woe is me, poor guy stuff. I lived with all that before. So you see, the reason that people can't forgive is because people haven't really forgiven yet anyway. Look at me. It is a process of forgiveness, but it's also a practice. Do you ever notice that? I think it was Vince Lombardi who made the statement that practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So these people in athletics, they drill over and over and over again. In different fields, they'll drill over and over and over again until they get it down just right. So when the moment comes, they're ready to perform, do what they need to do. Practice of forgiveness is, if you've really had practiced true forgiveness in your life, real forgiveness with your past, in your present, when it comes to the future, it's like, okay, well, I've learned that putting that away from me keeps me from carrying the burdens of my past. Dealing with it in my present keeps from the root of bitterness from being planted. And now whenever something comes up in the future, I don't have to be one of those miserable people in this world today who are just mad at everything. Mad at the world, mad at God, mad at their family, mad at their friends, or mad at total strangers. They just go off on people. Somebody cuts in front of them lying and stinking at Walmart and they lose their cool. It's insane. It's embarrassing. And it's insane. And you think, what is wrong with people? There are times I just, in the line, I'll just let people go ahead of me. I stand there one day with one item in my hand. This lady had a cart full of stuff and three screaming kids. You say, you were nice to let her go. No, I wanted her to get out of there so I could get my item in some peace. No, just in reality, I thought, bless her heart, she's not going to make it. They were pulling candy bars out of the boxes and they were getting stuff and everything else. She was trying to control this thing. I thought, bless her heart, she shouldn't have to wait on me to buy my one item and they don't have a price on it and they'll call back to a department that doesn't exist to try and get a price on an item that isn't worth it anyway. And this poor lady's going to lose it trying to keep these kids out of the candy bars. Ma'am, why don't you go ahead of me? But you only have one item. Please, please, please. The practice of forgiveness prepares you for the future. So then you don't have to stand there and it can be some horrible stuff. We teach little children to apologize when they do something wrong. You should teach them that. Well, you know, they're sincere. It doesn't make a difference. Teach them how to apologize when they're wrong and they do something wrong. It's not going to destroy their self-image. But you know, they're going to have to learn to say, I'm sorry a few more times before it's over. Real forgiveness is forgiving what's yet to be done in your life because you're ready. So, Pastor Johnson, how do you live like that? My question is this. How do you live without that? How do you live? Carrying the weight of stuff in life around, how do you live like that? I don't want to live like that. Yeah, but you were hurt yesterday by somebody you love. Yeah, I know. But I'm not going to live hurt. Can they hurt me? Sure they can. Am I going to hold that against them? No. 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 10,000 times no. 2,000 years ago on a bloody cross, somebody forgave me and I didn't deserve it. I still don't. I refuse. I refuse to hold $2 against anybody else. Real forgiveness sets you free. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.